Today is July 20th, 2026. This is your geopolitics briefing from Macro Observer. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover the deliberation inside the U.S. Situation Room over seizing Iran's Karg Island after a precision strike disabled the tanker Mount Belma, the widening 8-to-1 Russian casualty ratio in Ukraine even as Kyiv's strike range pushes past 3,400 kilometers, and China's first-ever submarine-launched ballistic missile test into international waters, which drew formal objections from 10 of 14 Pacific Island nations. Less than 48 hours after Washington reinstated its naval blockade of Iranian ports, two U.S. precision missiles tore into the engine compartment of the tanker Mount Belma as it approached Karg Island to load crude. The ship is now disabled, drifting in Gulf waters. That strike alone would be notable. What makes it a genuine inflection point is what U.S. officials are reportedly weighing next. Not another strike package, but outright occupation of Karg Island itself. The terminal that handles somewhere between 80 and 90% of all Iranian crude exports. The strategic calculus here is fundamentally different from anything we've seen in this campaign so far. A blockade is, in theory, reversible, lifted through international maritime organization channels, negotiated away, wound down. Occupied territory is not. If the U.S. moves from disrupting Iranian oil flows to physically holding the infrastructure that enables them, that converts a coercive campaign into something closer to a permanent fait accompli, one that severs, rather than merely interrupts, the revenue stream financing the IRGC's missile program and its proxy network. Overnight strikes also hit Bandar Abbas, Bushehr, for a sixth consecutive day, Khorramabad and Semnan, home to the Imam Ali missile base, a pattern that suggests Washington is now targeting Iran's ability to regenerate missile production, not just its deployed stockpiles. President Trump has pointed to a 111-for-111 intercept rate against missiles fired at the USS Abraham Lincoln and an oil price holding at $79 a barrel, as evidence the campaign has so far avoided the doomsday scenario of $350 a barrel oil. But there are second-order effects worth flagging. Houthi forces, according to Yemen-based sources cited by The Telegraph, are reportedly running contingency plans to close the Bab el-Mandeb Strait in coordination with Tehran, which would open a second, geographically separate maritime crisis requiring its own naval response, compounding rather than simply adding to a Hormuz disruption. And Iran has already demonstrated it can impose deniable costs elsewhere. A proxy drone strike on a tanker at Iraq's Basra terminal forced Iraq to suspend all loading operations. Meanwhile, high-confidence intelligence assessments suggest Russia and China used the recent ceasefire window to resupply Iranian air defenses, buying Tehran more time before any Karg Island or Fordow decision actually gets executed. Turn to Ukraine, where the numbers tell their own story. CIS data running from February 2022 through this past June puts total Russian casualties at roughly 1.4 million, with around 450,000 fatalities. More importantly, the casualty ratio itself has moved from a historical 3-to-1 in Russia's favor toward the war's cost to roughly 8-to-1 in 2026. Russian forces are now advancing at only 50 to 90 meters a day toward the eastern fortress belt. CSIS analysts draw a direct comparison to the Battle of the Somme's roughly 80 meters a day, a staggering collapse from the 3,000 to 7,000 meters a day Russian forces covered in the opening weeks of the 2022 invasion. The shifting geography of power here isn't about territory gained, it's about what territory costs. Russia's presumed advantages in population and industrial base simply haven't converted into ground. Ambassador Michael McFaul, citing Reuters reporting, says Putin rejected a ceasefire proposal from his own senior advisors, betting instead that winter energy strikes will finally break Ukrainian resolve, a bet McFaul calls a repeat of Russia's already failed 2024 campaign. Telling in its own right, Putin scaled back May's military parade over fears of a Ukrainian strike, which CSIS analysts read as tacit acknowledgement that Ukrainian long-range capability now threatens targets deep inside Russia. And that capability keeps extending. Firepoint's FP-1ER drone reportedly reached Omsk, some 2,500 kilometers from Ukrainian territory, with a claimed range of 3,400 kilometers. Ukraine has now struck all 11 of Russia's largest oil refineries, degrading Russian refining capacity by an estimated 20 to 40%. Underneath the battlefield numbers, Russia's financial system is showing real strain. A leaked European intelligence brief describes the banking sector as barely contained. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.